The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, friends. Welcome to My Brother, Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy, and we are California bound.
California!
Perfect.
California!
That's it.
Here we go!
Wow. Beautiful. A natural Phantom Planet soprano.
Thank you.
Travis, when you said you were going to get a castration for this episode, mm-hmm. I doubted you. And now I am completely and utterly doubting you.
That's fair. I had it reversed.
I don't think you can transplant that particular gland.
I did, and then I had it put back.
Right, that's what a transplant is, and I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that that's not.
It wasn't not really a transplant because I didn't have it switched out with anything. It was more just like a brief hiatus.
I don't think you can pause the existence of your donger.
No. I want to give some free advice to people about packing.
Okay.
This is starting the advice earlier than we normally do, but the first thing you pack should be the last thing you'd want to ask someone at the front desk for. And in my case, that's always Preparation H. That's the number one thing that I always pack first and make sure it's in there.
Justin's luggage could be characterized by the number of shame cubbies built into it.
Oh man, it's secrets upon secrets upon secrets.
It's like, you know that movie Heavyweights when they're like, all right, let me check your bunk for food, and he checks the bunk for food and they're like, no food here, and then they leave, and then these fat fucks pull lifesavers and gummy candies and snacky treats out of every orifice of their luggage and their beds and the furniture in the room. That's pretty much
mine's like that, but for anal treatments. My suitcase is like the life of Gary Glitter. It's just when you think there's not another place for embarrassment to hide, there it is.
Man, you make a lot of references to that person that few people know who they are.
Everybody knows who Gary Glitter is. Come on.
Probably not. Are you guys psyched to go to the left coast?
I am.
I'm ready. I'm not looking for that time change, though.
Well, actually, I was listening to Stuff You Should Know, and they were talking about jet lag. And basically, what you got to do is, as you're flying over the country, you got to stab yourself in the leg.
I don't think you're listening right.
No, you stab yourself in the leg, and then the pain distracts your brain from the time change.
Okay. So then you get there, and it's still 3 hours earlier.
Yeah, but, like, you're bleeding.
You're frequently blacking out. That helps with the sleep deprivation.
Listen, this comes straight from Chuck and Josh, and they travel a lot.
I think it comes like fourth hand through Chuck and Josh.
No, it's what they said.
Travis, I'm going to look in Chuck's face within the next 5 days, and I will ask him if you are lying to me.
Now, he may not remember it
because he stabbed himself.
It was from a secret bonus episode that they beamed directly into my brain while I was sleeping.
Okay.
Is that how you found out about 9/11 being an inside job also?
Yep.
I remember.
From Chuck and Josh. Well, brain Chuck and Josh.
Did you guys introduce yourselves?
I'm Griffin McElroy. I'm the only non-delusional person other than Justin on this podcast.
And I'm Travis McElroy.
Okay.
The end.
Period.
I'm in high school frequently. I'm complimented on my appearance while wearing formal wear.
We get it.
Suit, tuxedo. However, that calls. I'm tired of these humble brag questions, these curio brags. However, the call to wear nice clothing is limited. How can I dress nice more frequently so as to appease my vanity without being a dick about it? Is there even a way to dress nice on a normal day without giving someone the douche chills? Or do I have to become that weirdo who always wears dress shirts? And that's from Gmail.
This is
God. I mean, okay. there is, but not in fucking high school for
sure.
Yeah, show.
That's the thing. Like, I have a friend, my friend Jeremy, he dresses nice every day. He's also a goddamn adult.
Yeah, that's
and
the
so,
thing.
And so, like, even like, oh, that's a well-put-together dude, not like a 15-year-old who's getting above his raisin.
Even in college. College is really, like, a $15,000-a-year reason to wear sweatpants all the time. Mm-hmm. And, like, when you raise the bar by, you know, slapping some suspenders on...
And I'm gonna be straight with you. Here's some harsh truth, because I know this. When I work in the shop, right, and I'm usually wearing like my grungy paint jeans, mm-hmm. and that's what everybody sees me in every day. Then on the days when we're opening a new show and I dress up, yeah, I get a lot of compliments, mm-hmm. because the unspoken thing is you look better than normal.
Yeah,
that's why you're getting. Oh my God, you clean up nice, right?
The number of pretty woman switcheroos you are capable. The number of she's all that alterations. You can swing when you're fancy all the time, mm-hmm. every time, is zero. Because everybody expects
so if you're fancy all the time, no one's going to compliment you.
When you're fancy 90% of the time, that one day where you mm-hmm. do just want to throw on some cargo shorts, you're going to do a reverse she's all that.
Oh, yeah. She's not that.
She isn't anything, is what
she
you're going to pull.
Nowhere near the idea of that.
Mm-hmm. It's like, that. Who's that bra with the glasses? Oh, man. It's her?
Oh, who knew an Uggo was under all that attractiveness all the time?
She used to be so fit. What happened? It's just the glasses, but...
Are those pencils in her hair? Ooh.
No, thanks.
Ooh. Well,
the problem with dressing like that in high school is that everyone is going to assume... that your mom dressed you like that. Mm. They're going to assume your mom.
Well, I don't know.
Here's the thing. I think there's a casual dress. I think that there are, like, you know, button-up shirts that aren't, like, dress shirts that you can, like, wear with jeans and be well put together and take care of yourself without, like, going full suit and tie every day.
Yeah. He's on that suit and tie shit. Here's the thing, though. Because this is... I'm speaking from my experience of when I was in high school in 1982... Things if the game has changed, I bet. Because have mm-hmm. you guys? Do you guys know about swag?
Yeah, I have a passing familiarity.
Okay, I think that this might be a swag thing. I think this might be a swag because this kid, I bet, if he rolls up in high school with his suit and tie shit, because like Justin Timberlake just did that song about it, so like kids know that. Kids love his music. You roll up to school in your prom best. I think you're going to turn some heads, and in a good way, nowadays.
Wait, I have an idea.
Okay.
Okay.
And this will help protect you from wearing it out because you dress nice every day and losing the effectiveness, and simultaneously keep it interesting for all your friends. Bring your suit and tie with you. Keep it at school. And then just change for one period out of every day, and then change back.
You know, baby, it's social studies. Yeah, look my best.
And when they're like, "Were you? What? Wait, hold on." And you're like, "Excuse me, what? No, I've been wearing jeans and t-shirt all day."
This is I feel like we have to return to an old classic rule here. None of our advice is applicable if you are hugely physically attractive.
Yeah. Yes,
because again, if you're really physically just very very pleasing to the eye, you can wear a suit and basically just run the school. Right. Yeah. I mean, you'll basically be running the school.
Ooh, watch out for the catch me if you can effect, though, where everyone thinks you're a substitute teacher.
When you say watch out, you mean try as hard as you possibly can to emulate, right?
Yes.
Because I don't remember a lot about that movie, but I do remember that he got copious amounts of trim.
There was that.
Nigh-on offensive amounts of trim.
That was the 60s, though. All you had to do was put on a fucking pilot hat. And it was trim central. You could go to a cheap Halloween dime store and then get the requisite materials to make a mm-hmm. trim volcano. Ugh, God, why were we born when we were born?
I know.
Back then, if you didn't wear a suit to school, you got beat up.
Exactly. Ugh.
I don't think you can... And also, you know what? I'm not sure that's going to be pretty high budget, too.
Yeah, right?
Like now, the way you look, I guarantee it, every day mm-hmm. and still have, you know, a wide variety of looks to where it's not like that kid is poor but in a really weird way mm-hmm. where his parents
bought him
one suit.
Oh, you don't
want
it to be an affectation. We're like, that's the guy that wears that tuxedo every
day. It has to be an affectation, though. I mean, clothing is all about appropriateness, right? Like, mm-hmm. you can dress up or not as the situation demands. this is why we say on invitations, like, casual or Jimmy Buffett inspired or formal.
Nobody has ever, Jimmy Buffett has never invited people to a Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy Buffett is metacognizant of how bad his shit is.
Wouldn't it be a sartorially real mindfuck, though, if it turned out that Jimmy Buffett style was, like, full, like, black tie affair? And, like, you got there and, like, your parrot shirt and everything. And I was like,
yeah, you're like, you misread it. It actually said Warren Buffett. God damn it. Did it again. Yeah. How about another question? You guys want to help another person?
Do you want a Yahoo? Because I got actually like a shit ton. People came
out. I know. I had to fucking read through all of them.
People responded in full fucking force. Wow. Thank you to everybody. I'm probably going to be dipping into this week's stash for a while. So thank you all. Let's kick things off. This one was sent in actually by two people, by Andrew Jones and Oliver Hill. Thank you, guys. It's by Yahoo Answers user Turd, who asks. Oh.
Nice. Don't give him You're that. Done. That's it.
Who asks, how can I get my dad to be cool? He's a really shy, nerdy guy. He's like 50, so can he really change? My mom walks all over him, and it makes me sad to see that my father is not a real man. Yes, he's a responsible man and a kind man, but not a real man. I want to teach him how to be cool and not so uptight. He needs to start hitting the gym, going out to socialize, and maybe pick up a fun hobby like pool hustling or joining a motorcycle gang.
Oh my god. Jesus Christ.
50 ain't too late to just fucking switch it and change it.
We're talking about a dad's all that, right?
I can't. Hey, Dad, take those glasses off. Oh, shit. Your astigmatism. I forgot.
Hey, Dad, get off that riding lawnmower, can't buy me, Dad. Come on. Let me clean you right up.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Dad of the Year? Was that the Rick Moranis movie? What was the Rick Moranis movie?
That was Honey, I Shrunk the Dad.
Shrunk the Kid.
No.
It was Honey, I Shrunk my swag. Honey, I blew up my swag.
How can you get your 50-year-old... Well, first of all, you're going to have a frank conversation with him. With
your dad, Frank.
If your dad's name is Frank, it helps to say, like, listen, you have raised me. You're kind and you're responsible. I know my mom's walks all over you, but I respect what you've done for me and my family. But fuck, you are lame. Manzos, you just... Man, I look at you and it's just... You're just a pitiful husk. Of negative manliness.
The stork has not been kind enough to bless me with a baby from the Cabbage Patch, but I am 32.
Right.
So I can address something for you. Your dad is 100% aware at every waking moment how uncool he has become. This is not a wake up one day and you have those socks with Argyle socks on. This is a slow descent from relevance that started in his late 20s and just kind of got
maybe,
worse.
Maybe, but maybe
I would bet statistically though, at some point he was probably cool.
That's the thing. He might be in full blown dad denial. He might be in dad denial, like. He might be like the biggest.
Dad Niles is not a river in Egypt.
I know. You know? It's not at all. It's not bad at all. He might be like a big parrot head, and that might be like a mainstay from his youth. And he might just think like, I fucking get it. The world is moving in the wrong direction, and that direction is away from Jimmy Buffett's relevance. I am still on the fucking cutting, bleeding edge.
Is this going to be a Buffett full episode?
Maybe. Or? It's his birthday. Okay.
What?
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there are those dads out there that are like, oh, yeah, man, I saw the Eagles 3 times last year, and it fucking changed. Like, that is literally only your definition of cool. Even the Eagles don't think that Steve's cool.
The Eagles know better.
The Eagles are like, but here's the thing. We need to talk about your Eagles consumption, the Eagles said to the Eagles fan.
The other side of this coin is so much more embarrassing that if you had a dad who suddenly just rolled up one day in full-on, like, leather outfit and biker gear and, like, we riding a motorcycle and he was like, hey, kids, let's go check out the concert scene. Mm-hmm. Like, you're
hey,
not
kids,
gonna
be... does anybody here like Drake? And then he fans out some Drake tickets.
Yeah, you're not going to be more proud of him.
I would actually, that would be
dumb. That would be pretty funny. Great
flash move. If my dad rode his motorcycle from Ironton, Ohio to Austin, Texas, and then fanned out a fucking fistful of Drake tickets, I don't know a single Drake song, but I would say yes, and I would hop on the back of that Harley, and we would go have the best.
You're ride in the sunset.
Your dad has to let his swag go for his children to become. I mean, the universe has a finite amount of swag. Everybody knows this. Mm-hmm. That's in the secret. But he has to let some of it go for you to become as fresh as you can be in your life.
He regurgitated his swag into your mm-hmm. open baby mouths when you were born, and that's how you got the swag that you have. He transferred it to you, like some sort of Highlander, but also a mama bird. Kind of mixed it
up. So the best thing you can do, the best thing you can do in your life then is to live your life as cool as possible as a tribute to him.
To your dad's fallen swag. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're going to pick it up and take his mantle.
And when you win the swag awards that I assume Spike TV probably gives out, then you can stand on stage and say, "This swag's for you, Dad."
And your dad's in the audience like, cool. Thanks, son. And he pulls out a calculator. Thanks, why do you have a fucking calculator? We're at the swag awards.
Because you won the swag awards. Your dad has just fully become Booger from Revenge of the Nerds.
Just, oh, God.
But wait a second. Who's sitting next to him at the swag awards? It's Drake. Drake sees him. He's like, I'm changing my whole look. Goes full Booger. All of a sudden, your dad becomes the definition of swag.
Ouroboros.
Wait, what's the swag? Does your swag begin to drain away as his swag increases? Is it inversely proportional?
It's the swag of Dorian Gray. You're just putting your swag into a painting.
Somewhere there's a painting of my dad getting less swag.
Is our dad swag, do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's still pretty
fresh. I mean, he's got a pretty big collection of hero clicks.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's got, I mean, he's got a great office. Mm-hmm. He's got a cool look. He's got Twitter. He's on that game.
He's good on Twitter, guys.
Yeah, Doc Kerm, if you don't follow him, DOCCURM. Follow our dad.
Follow our dad. He'll teach you.
Well, now we got to charge him for that. But
he's really good at, he does like a YouTube instructional video series on like fancy basketball dribbles you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a whole series about like sweet ways to roll blunts. Mm-hmm. He'll roll like specialty blunts.
Like, and he has a whole thing where, like, he does the acapella versions of acapella songs. It's really weird, but
he like harmonizes with himself in video editing. It's pretty weird. He's got a whole thing, scene going on.
I want to throw out two special thanks this week.
Okay.
To Libby Sanders and Ben Masick, because both of them fucking sent in farm wisdom.
Oh shit! Share that with us. Yeah.
Sure. Libby Sanders sent me some pictures of cows and baby birds and stuff, which is awesome.
That's,
and
is that wisdom?
Well, she also said that apparently roosters fucking crow all day long.
Okay, so the myth,
not just in the morning.
Okay, that's bullshit. Why would anybody want that bird? It's like an alarm you can't turn off.
I know. Here's some farm secrets. Secrets from Ben. Cows lay down right before it's about to rain. And I want to get some proof on this. But if you bale hay when it's wet, don't stack it in the loft because it can set fire to the barn.
How?
What?
I don't know.
That doesn't make sense. Farm wisdom is
crazy.
And then he sent me a picture of a cow, which I appreciate.
We did specifically ask for that. So
I really like pictures of cows.
Yeah, but not when they're like on Google image search already, because like I don't want a picture of a cow that a bunch of people have already looked at.
Oh, also Jordan Brown sent in some pictures of cows and farm wisdoms and such, and I appreciate.
But are these like
thank you, Jordan?
Are these like original JPEGs that they themselves captured?
These are pictures that they took of their farms.
Okay,
I'm gonna have to for now on ask farmers that write in to please write MBMBAM on your cow, so we know that your image is legit.
And like today's date,
I just recently started dating a wonderful girl. A wonderful girl.
She's two, and I'm two. Also, I love girls.
I loved him. Her cooties are so cute. I have a small issue, though. She's a professional wrestler, like the powerbomb through a table kind of wrestler, which, don't get me wrong, that's freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes with a slight side effect. She loves play fighting. Now, I like to play fight. But the problem is sometimes she gets a little too into it, and she starts to hit a bit hard on occasion. Play fighting is fun, but getting punched in the gut is not. Help, brothers. How do I get my punch love girlfriend to pull her punches? That's from Gmail.
Oh, honey, please don't bring your work home. This time is for us.
Leave it in.
How about
the
you
office.
Tell that, like.
When she does it, just go, ow.
Or just
ow,
go,
you hurt me.
Hey, don't fucking punch me. Is a pretty good way to stop people from punch. Hey, if you would stop fucking punch. Like, I get it. You're play fighting, but are you? Is it play for her? Or is it?
No, it's work. She's on the clock.
It's either training or it's subtle psychosexual dominance that she is putting in there, putting in your relationship.
Here's the problem, Punchy. Your problem is you should have said something the first time she did it. Because now when you bring it up, she's going to feel bad. She's going to be like, I've been punching you for 6 months. Why didn't you say anything?
I get it. But, like, we gotta take gender out of this equation. We gotta be gender blind on this one.
I agree.
I feel like hitting isn't the right answer.
Hitting's not good.
Use your words.
Unless you are getting paid for it, which apparently she is doing.
Yeah, you're getting some professional hits. You're getting it. I mean, people pay big money to see her hit people like that. I mean, you're getting it all for free. Maybe you should be a little more grateful. It just seems very. This seems like a really dangerous. I mean, obviously, like
it's how
dangerous.
Fucking Houdini died.
Yes, thank you, Griffin. That's absolutely true.
You know what I mean? This guy might be the fucking escape artist extraordinaire of our time, and we'll never know. His girlfriend punches his liver to death. God, this makes me upset. Don't punch anyone.
Hey, everybody, even in play, don't punch anyone.
I don't know what else to say about. Just tell her that it hurts and that like get that like. Male ego bullshit. Like, if this is legitimately an issue that is driving a wedge between you, that the punches she does to your tummy hurts your tummy and it makes you sad, just say all those words to her. That is specifically all those words I just said.
Hey, hun. Hey, please don't hit me. It hurts.
In the tummy, it makes it sad. It makes it ache.
I think that maybe you have to do away with this whole part of your relationship. The whole play fighting thing. I think you have to probably let that go.
Is it possible? I don't want to play psychologist, but is it possible that like she as a person has like physical issues where like that's how she displays
emotion.
You're saying she's a caveman.
Saying that maybe like maybe it's not we're looking at it as like her violence is stemming from her profession. But maybe it's the other way around. Maybe she picked a profession that allowed her an outlet for, like, her physical nature.
Maybe the issue is that she's fully ripped up fucking biodiesel.
Uh-huh.
And because of that, it makes her happy to express her dieselity by going full-blown beast mode on her boyfriend's tummy tom.
That's exactly what I was saying. Thank you for translating.
Well, just say it in, like, fucking human speak next time.
Fair enough.
Why don't you put the fucking, those little glasses that only cover the bridge of your nose away and pull out your fucking ZZ Top shades.
But how will I read my spreadsheets?
Right, that's what I'm saying. This is a spreadsheet-free podcast. You gotta give the people the common words.
Like, fair enough. Like, all of my words will come from common from now on.
Okay, good.
In middle school, Dad told us that if you punch a bully just once really hard, then that's usually in the nose, like a shark, that's usually enough. So I don't think you should do that. I think that's that dog don't hunt, I think. I would not suggest that.
Oh, maybe when like she punches you, you give her a glass of punch and you pretend like you didn't understand the parameters of the game.
Okay, that's fun. Except I'm worried if she's like a big punch fan, you are building up possibly what may go down in APA history as the most unhealthy Pavlovian response. She may start seeing you as
I am thirsty.
Some sort of juice vending machine with one giant punchable button, which is your tummy.
It's like how Fonzie always punched that the jukebox to get music.
Precisely.
Precisely.
Okay. Don't punch people anymore.
Don't. Just stop punching people. Hey, here's a... Here's a relevant question. My name is Chris Brown. How do I get people to stop making Rihanna jokes? Concerned celebrity copycat in Chicago.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
There's an easy answer.
Yeah, get in a fucking cryo chamber and wait 30 years until nobody remembers who either of those fucking people are.
Fake your own death.
Well, I was going to say that when they say, hey, Rihanna, you just, like, go up to them and go, shh, I'm trying to stay under the radar, and then run away.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I don't think you know who Chris Brown is.
I don't think you know.
No, I do. So it's like you're pretending like you've had cosmetic surgery, but you refuse to change your name because you're really proud of your name. Mm-hmm. And then, like, Chris Brown is like the worst person at being incognito ever.
What if he changed? What if he changed his name? Mm-hmm. And they were like, "Hey, Chris," and he's like, "Oh, I'm not Chris Brown anymore. I had to change my name because of all the Rihanna stuff. You can call me OJ Simpson from now on." They're like, "You changed it to OJ Simpson?" You're like, yeah, because like I love this.
I just picked it at random.
I love the Simpsons, and like orange juice is like my favorite beverage, and so I just thought, like, why not, you know, good on good. It's like chocolate and peanut butter. It's kind of not, though, like that.
It's not in any way like that. Let's go to the money. I want to tell you guys about a new podcast that I am learning about, called the Optimism Club podcast. Now, you guys know Steve and Andy, mm-hmm. of course. Mm-hmm. And
Steve Buscemi and Andy Buscemi.
Circus.
Steve and Andy Buscemi are
Andy
two
Buscemi
brothers.
Is the failed clone of Steve Buscemi.
He's the unattractive Buscemi.
Which is really unfortunate, because Steve Buscemi already looks like a failed clone of somebody else.
He's a fan clone of Steve Guttenberg. It's a whole. they do a podcast that covers everything. You like comedy, video games, movies, comic books, comedy books, video comics. They got it all on there, and they talk about it every week. They've talked about Batman. They've talked about The Walking Dead. And the host's favorite podcast, hopefully there's only one that comes up in that discussion. And there's an intro by an outro by Bob Ball, just like our show. So that's trademark infringement, and I expect the check is in the mail.
So go search for the Optimism Club podcast and listen to it, fools.
I like this. I will listen to this podcast. I'm sick of podcasts that just talk about how awful everything is.
Yeah,
because it's a wonderful world we live in.
It mm-hmm. is. I'm happy someone's finally acknowledging that.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of a wonderful world, it's a great world we live in where you can buy all the dicks you could ever want or need on the mm-hmm. on the internet in a discreet package on extremerestraints.com.
Fantastic, Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this the same site where I can get some bedroom bondage, like the under-the-bed restraint system, which I was disappointed to find out was a restraint system that went under the bed and not something that locked someone hanging underneath your bed.
Or mm-hmm. some way to ensnare the monster.
Some way Ooh. To tie up that monster so you can fuck it.
So you can fuck it real good.
I'm gonna fuck that monster on your bed.
That would be a good way to assuage your child's fears. It's the boogeyman. Don't worry about this.
Is there?
Let me get out.
Give me like 10 minutes alone in here.
Let me get out the trap. Let me get out the fucking proton pack. Zip zap.
You can get 200 feet of bondage rope on this site for $55, which seems like a steal. I just think 200 feet of rope would be awesome.
Can I turn my office into the room of like some sort of safari hunter? But instead of having, like, a zebra head and a lion head perched on the wall, just, like, a bunch of dicks. And then people be like, mm-hmm. what are those dicks from? And I can say it's from the animals I've hunted.
As a carpenter, the trick is you got to find the studs in the wall, mm-hmm. Or else all those dicks are just going to fall off.
Yeah. Well, that mm-hmm. would be miserable, because then people would be like, why are all your dicks on the floor? And I'll say, I'm so ashamed. It's a dirty room.
But I know what you're thinking. How can I keep up, you know, that level of decoration and not go to the poorhouse? The good news is that if you use the coupon code SWORDFISH,
the longest running hack, this one, this is not a good password.
It's unfortunate because we picked something that was unhackable.
I know. Maybe we should start putting like zeros and do some fucking cryptography on this bitch.
Mm-hmm. That's gonna get you a 20%
SWORDFISH
off.
With like a one instead of an I.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, fuck, I ruined it. I said it.
That's going to get you 20% off on the website, so you can buy
1/5 as many dicks.
Do you guys know any wind talkers? We gotta do our next password in like a mix of like Navajo and binary.
ExtremeRestraints.com is the website. You can start that with an E or an X and it still works, which is nice. They got both of those locked down. They got everything, medical fetish, floggers and whips, and you can save it all 20% off with the coupon code Swordfish.
Thank you.
They are truly wonderful people who have
supported us. They're great people. They're
so stupid long. It's awesome.
Huge supporters of the show, and we couldn't be happier to have them still supporting us. No one is more responsible for bringing this show to you every week, including the people on this call at ExtremeRestraints.com. So make sure you go there and support their wonderful website.
Hi, I'm homosensual Brian Stoffy.
And I'm feminasty Erin Gibson, and we host
Throwing Shade,
where we take a weekly look at all the issues important to ladies
and gays
and treat them with much less respect than they deserve.
It's for gay people. It's for straight people. It's for ladies.
It's for people who love to laugh, who love comedy, and love tragedy and love crime.
And who hate drinking and driving because that's messed up.
And don't text.
Check out Throwing Shade.
Subscribe for free in iTunes or go to MaximumFun.org.
Do you guys want a Yahoo?
I'd love one.
This one's sent in by Alan Black. Thanks, Alan Black. It's by Yahoo.
Oh, we haven't seen Alan Black in a while.
Well, I mean, he does a lot of chops. If you guys haven't been on the forums lately, Alan Black is frequently dropping chops on there, photo chops.
Mm. Okay.
They're all really
Are those good. The forums at MaximumFun.org?
Yes, those are the one and the same. This Yahoo is asked by KingMaster1, who asks, is there a cursed sword? I'm reposting this because no one helped me on the first one. Is there a place in Japan where I could buy a cursed sword? Real answers only, please. No sarcasm.
There is.
There is.
But you're going to have to fight your way there. And then it is not worth it because that curse, it just kind of makes you feel like you need to go to the bathroom all the time, but when you get there, nothing happens.
So the curse is IBS, because I've already got that particular... every sword is cursed for me in this scenario.
That's what I'm saying. The cost-benefit analysis is not very high.
Okay.
Unless you're the last dragon.
Mm. Well, yes.
Then you nullify it, because you...
Yeah, if you have the power of the glow, then I think that you can...
Okay, well, now we're getting into a whole other glow thing. You gotta check the Venn diagram overlap. Of do you have IBS and the glow?
Because they're basically one and the same. IBS is basically just the glow. I mean, as useful as it turns out to be.
Listen, don't bring your medical science into this, Justin, all right?
I bought a $12 set of Chef Mate knives at Target that lost their sharpness within minutes. So really, I think that I have like 10 cursed kitchen knives.
The thing about a cursed sword is that anybody can curse a sword,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Fuck you. Fuck this dagger, right?
Fuck this dagger.
Fucking Wazaikishi, bitch.
And then it's cursed.
And then it's cursed forever.
Or,
is it
a grab bag thing,
or can you pick what the curse does? Or is it just like, when you curse, it's just like, oh, sorry, it's a little heavier.
No, they're all IBS. It's across the board IBS.
Mm-hmm. What you could curse it yourself for the next person to buy it, and just put some jelly on the hand.
Oh, worst curse!
That's a terrible curse. I love that. That's your go-to curse, Justin.
You're at the Comic-Con, and you're. I mean, if you're buying a sword at the Comic-Con, it's going to have some sort of moisture on it that's going to be unpleasant to the touch.
Some brand of condensation.
It will have condensed out of the con air. Not out of the movie, I mean specifically out of the air in the convention center. I don't think I've ever bought a sword at a Comic-Con. I have bought 2 kendo sticks.
Perfect.
Let's air out our dirty laundry right now.
I've bought at least 4 different phasers at Comic-Con.
That's true.
I have bought countless knives.
Yeah.
Most of them throwing knives.
Man, this is some shit that I bet people would not have guessed about us, or they'd probably... Mm. Or they did. It's
probably absolutely.
There is something about, because I think the first knife I ever bought was like a decorative dragon handle, and I bought it at the hunting and fishing show in Huntington,
Virginia. That's right. Nobody's going to fucking skin a deer with this Game of Thrones Valyrian steel blade that you bought at the Huntington Hunting and Fishing Show.
There is something where it's like every day if someone says to me, hey, do you want a grappling hook? I'd be like, well, no, I'd never use that. But when I'm at a convention, I see that grappling hook, and I just kind of run my fingers across it and go, yeah, I could totally
at
see
the hunting. I love to envision this at the Hunting and Fishing Show. Travis, in a corner of the hall, Travis finds a dark canvas tent scribed in runes.
Welcome to the Tent of Mystery. Come in, wanderer.
It's made of dragon bone and purest mithril. Also, do you want some jerky?
I think one of my favorite, this is one of the sales pitches I was once given at like 14. It was this triangle-shaped black metal blade. Mm-hmm. And the dude goes, yeah, that totally won't show up in the metal detectors.
Cool.
Cool thing to say what? To a kid. To a
Pardon
child.
Me, sir?
Ugh. But I mean, that's for like fighting terrorists on the plane. Not for doing the terrorism, but like if there is a terrorist, you know how to deal with mm-hmm. it. Cause you're
oh, no. It's an American-made stealth blade, so...
Right. I bought kendo sticks because, A, I liked the idea of there being a sport associated with it. Not a sport that I would say was particularly big in West Virginia. There wasn't a particularly large kendo community, not a lot of sparring partners, not many dojos in general, as a rule. But I also like the non-lethal option, you know what I mean? Because what if I was in the parking lot of Mid-Ohio Con and a couple of Iron Men came up and started some shit? I don't want to kill them with Travis's dragon blade. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I just want to incapacitate.
I still own that dragon blade, by the way. It's real wicked.
I know.
I'll post a picture.
I have disavowed myself of all kendo sticks, of all katana dakas.
Where has this ended up?
Just over dumpsters, and I gave one to Evan Minsker. So the dumpster outside of Evan Minsker's house. Let's be real. I give them away as gifts, like at like weddings and stuff like that.
Before we move on to the next question, I wanted to take you guys on the little journey that I went on just now. I was going to give you guys some Wikipedia information about the hit film The Last Dragon, but the only thing we're sharing on here is I want to read you one paragraph. There are four paragraphs about the production of this film.
Don't read all four.
I'm not going to. There's one about Bill Macy being in there because, you know, that's crazy. Here is the last paragraph in this section. Julius J. Carey III, in the role of Shonuff, trained in martial arts for the film, appeared in numerous television roles like Dr. Abraham Butterfield on Dr. Doctor, and, most notably, the bounty hunter Lord Bowler in The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. He was a supporting actor in the R. Ray Moore film Disco Godfather, and also appeared in The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh, and on shows such as Murphy Brown, Family Matters, A Different World, Two Guys, a Girl in a Pizza Place, and Boy Meets World. He enjoyed playing basketball. Carey died August 19, 2008 of pancreatic cancer.
Oh.
That's the... He was on Boy Meets World. He enjoyed playing basketball. And then he died of pancreatic cancer in 2008.
Not to bring it down, you guys.
Listen, I should have ended, in retrospect, I should have ended on the basketball.
Well, that but was then a the much past tense night. Of enjoyed would have left me hanging, like, where's he at? Where did his soul end
Did he
up?
Stop playing basketball? Does he not enjoy
I was
it
under
anymore?
The impression that he had the fucking glow and that he would be an earthwalker for the rest of his days, but apparently not.
Apparently not.
And on Boy Meets World, he played Angela's dad, in case anyone was wondering.
And I was.
He also had the glow.
He also had the glow.
It was
glow
a very,
that.
Very strange subplot on Boy Meets
World. And Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, I believe he was the chef at the pizza place.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the glow in that.
Everybody has the glow. How about another real question? A girl who thought I... Oh, God. I'm sorry, God. My reading is just going to keep getting worse. This isn't my fault. A girl who I was...
I think it's a girl who I thought.
Okay. A girl who I thought could be a potential Jeef recently propositioned me. The old friends with benefits. This is a first to me, but I happily accepted as I am moving soon and no roots would be planted. The catch is, in our first encounter, I was enlightened to the fact that she is a masochist. This, too, is a first for me. After a night of exploring... She told me that I do not have the personality to be her dom,
and said I could be her sub.
Oh, you fucked up the job interview.
You blew the "where do you see yourself in 5 years" question.
That's like, yeah, we can't make you the
under
general,
my butt.
We can't make you the general manager of this branch, but but we will fuck your butt with a broomstick.
Is that cool?
Is that cool?
Don't use a broomstick. Use one of the many delightful adult toys at extremestrange.com.
You're right, but those might not hurt enough. Anyway, go ahead.
Brothers, is this endeavor worth exploring if not only to further my experience, or am I swimming in a sea of sexy that is over my head? That's from BDSM in Brunswick.
I mean, it's got to be pretty fucking sexy, because there's like a shitload of people who are into that.
Yeah. I mean, people, obviously, they're making enough money at the place they sell things to do that they can keep this dumb show running.
Right. Our show is, we are basically the sub to the relationship between us and Extreme Restraints. They are the dom.
You are only going to, I mean, this is a great sort of entry point. I think you got to start as a sub and work your way up to a dom.
Oh, yeah.
You assume.
It's like you can't be a dom.
Oh, you got to get the resume credits. You got to put in 10,000 hours, as Malcolm Gladwell would say.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't be God. An expert at BDSM just when you start.
After 10,000 hours, you would be a fucking hand puppet, man.
You're going to be limber. You're going to be just empty.
Just empty, hollowed out.
Where's
my pancreas? I had a pancreas when I came in here.
Your master has claimed it.
All right. I mean, being a sub is not all about getting your butt slammed.
No, but I think that if you didn't know here's what I'm suggesting. If you don't know the sort of culture of BDSM,
yeah.
It seems like there would have to be a learning experience. And if your tutor is the person who's your sub, it seems like it would kind of ruin the fantasy if they constantly had to be like, no, just 5 inches deeper.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cavernous down there.
So yeah, I think as long as she knows that like you're new to this and everything, yeah.
Is there an apprenticeship that he can take on somewhere, like a blacksmith? A
correspondence course?
Yeah,
like, University of Phoenix.
Yeah,
it sounds like that's what she's offering him. Like this, I mean, right? It seems like if he doesn't have the personality to be her dom, she's willing to take on, you know, this young buck.
What if this is all a huge misunderstanding? And the next time...
No, I said I wanted to make you a sub.
And the next time that they show up in the bedroom, he's wearing his you know, his pain shorts, and he's already strapped himself in to the bad boy chair. And then she walks into the room, and she is wearing a very convincing Dom DeLuise fat suit.
And he has to dress. That is the hottest sex play. One person dressed like Dom DeLuise. The other person dressed like a submarine sandwich. Mm-hmm. And he's like a torture.
Dom DeLuise just goes fucking crazy on it. They had to fucking tint the windows of his trailer because of what he did to a Subway sandwich.
I'm going
to
eat all the pepperoncinis first.
Put them on my nipples now, and bend my neck down and eat them right off.
Now, at what point does it stop being, like, a plaything and start being, like, a tribute?
I do a historically accurate Dom DeLuise.
It's a two-man show. The other man doesn't have a lot of lines.
I think it's I think you have to change it to DDSM. Because for as a tribute to our friend Dom.
Dom destroys sandwich meats.
You know what? Fucking go for it.
Yeah.
You only go around once, and you should live like you're dying and just see what this experience is like. Maybe you dig it. You're only going to find out if you... I think if you don't enjoy it, obviously, you know, it's not something you should push yourself into. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what the hell?
It's the kind of thing you set up a safe word and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So,
DuckTales? If not, no.
Oh, man. Do you guys want another Yahoo?
Yeah, sure.
This one was sent in by Ira Ray.
Are you Ira Ray?
Who wants to know? Sorry, too much of a pause. Yeah. I didn't know.
Wanged it.
It's been a while.
You wanged.
Thank you, Ira Ray. It's by Yahoo Answers user Skaterboy 854856, who asks, how can I make my punches more explosive? What can I do to make my punches more explosive? The way I see it, I can buy a heavy shot put. Buy a heavy medicine ball. Do clap push-ups.
Those are hard. I bet. I've never accomplished one myself.
Does he want his punches to be more powerful? Or like right. he wants to punish things and they just...
I think explosive is kind of a catch-all. I think he just wants his punches to be better in general.
Just overall
better. You know, Bruce Lee had a philosophy where he just saw all of his power like water. Because you pour water into a cup and it takes the shape of a cup. Or you pour water into a bowl, it takes the shape of a bowl. So he would take all of his water and put it into his fist and punch like that.
Mm-hmm. He called it a wet punch. And people would be like, ah, oh, what the... Ah, oh, man, now I'm wet.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and they would be so discombobulated by the dampness that they would not know how to retaliate.
What if you put jelly on his fist? What would be more unpleasant?
Justin, I worry that a lot of your solutions to a lot of your problems are put some preserves on it.
Are you being paid by Big Jelly?
It's just so unpleasant.
This isn't even the first episode where you suggested you get back at, like, a good prank would be to put jelly on somebody's door handle. Like, you are like Jelly Batman.
I prefer the sticky bandit, but thank you.
Why is my fucking door handle jelly? Pray to me! What are you doing? Stop! You're wearing a belt that is just covered in Smuckers, and you just scoop some Smuckers off your belt.
Why so sticky?
See, no. It wasn't even Batman.
That's the Joker. He's also the sticky Joker.
Okay. Can you...
I'm not wearing something sticky.
Is that better?
That's way better. I mean, you hold a... You can hold so many things to augment your punches.
Oh, that's true. Roll of quarters. That's supposed to be good.
Roll of quarters, a dildo from Extreme Restraints.
Oh, nice dildo punch. No one's coming back from that for a lot of reasons.
You can put a lot of those, you know, those little snap things that you buy at firework places, you throw on the ground, and then they pop.
Boy.
Put those, get a big fistful of those, and then punch someone with it.
Or just, like, cover your hand in hairspray and light it on fire, and then punch them.
Oh, shit, that's good. Can you tie...
Yeah, that'd be fucking terrifying.
Tie your fist to the hood of a car and have them just go.
Mm-hmm. Have your friends pick you up and launch you at them.
That's a good one. Can you use...
Can you stand on the hood of a car, have your friends drive at someone really fast, and then stop short, and you just fucking fly forward and give them that huge inertia punch?
I like that. Hang upside down from the ceiling with your fist extended, and when they walk in the room, have a friend cut the cord, and then you just drop on them with your punch.
Then you got that extra gravity in there, too. That's huge.
What if you had those big hands?
Get on the bottom of a piano and have them drop the piano. A lot of mine have to do with dropping.
What if you have those big hands they had in the Foo Fighters video?
Mm-hmm.
That would probably be good.
Just get Dave Grohl to push you into someone.
Yeah.
What if you wore Hulk hands?
Would that help? That would depreciate the...
Ooh, but inside the Hulk hands, lead.
That would still, I still think the softness of the hands would...
Outside the Hulk
hands? Okay, inside the Hulk hands, SARS.
So you punch someone, the sponge contracts and expands, pushing the SARS outwards into the person's face.
That's correct.
And they're like, that didn't hurt. And you go, ha ha.
Didn't it?
See you soon.
See you soon. Because you're the angel. Because
you're going to nurse him back to hell. I also don't know how SARS works.
Oh, God. I'm a doctor who specializes in SARS, and this is how I get my business.
I haven't had a lot of business lately.
See you real soon.
Stupid post office security checks.
Just rotate your hips, I guess. Also, that works. I mean, that is what they tell you, I think.
Mm-hmm. Really? Does that work?
You spread your feet as far apart as you can possibly make them go.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do a perfect split, then that's great, because that's the kind of leverage you need. And then,
because the important thing to remember is the power doesn't come from your bicep.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from your knees.
And you make the loosest fist you can with your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Because a loose fist punch hurts way more than a tight fist punch.
And you can hold more jelly that way.
And you can hold a lot more jelly. That's right, Travis. A closed fist holds no jelly. That's as the old proverb
says. Bruce Lee said that.
And then you just give him the old...
Slap him.
Give him the old Bronx handshake. You know what I mean?
Did you just admit that? You should admit the Bronx
handshake. You know, I had a girl give me a Bronx handshake and a sticky Joker once.
I know.
And I broke up with her shortly
after. I was like, baby, please don't punch. No punching.
What if this is written by that guy's girlfriend?
My guy. If there's one thing I know about my boo, he loves punches in his tummy.
How can I give him that punch Juicy so desperately craves?
Ugh, man.
A couple days ago, I was texting with a male friend when he suddenly brought up his sexual preferences. He was quite specific in detailing what he liked to do to women in bed, when before we had hardly grazed any sexual topic before in any conversation. He was quick to add that he was kinky and asked a few questions about what I liked too.
The Barf-a-rama!
This may be incredibly obtuse, but even to their female friends, guys don't just bring up this for the sake of idle chatter, right? Like, ever? I mean, he wants to go straight to Pound Town, right? Am I missing something here? That's from Textual Sexual Surprised Indianapolis.
Which is pretty good.
Hey, buddy. Hey, pal. I'm into pee. Hey, old chum. You know what I like? Armpits.
Is it... Okay. First, caveat. You can't ignore the possibility that your friend left the room and his asshole friend picked up the phone and started texting you about Cleveland Steamers and stuff.
That's good. I like that. I mean, we obviously, just a few sort of like super clear caveats here. We embrace any whatever you want to
Not do. Pee just, play, though. I'm sorry. The line must be drawn here.
Anything is fine, but like, don't change the tenor of your I mean, you can't just change your heading, your course heading. Mm-hmm. In a text. Like, it doesn't work that way. You can't just decide to change this whole direction. That's a very uncomfortable situation.
Leave a voicemail at the very least.
Mm-hmm. Something,
if,
right?
If you're gonna drop some kink, if you're gonna drop a kink bomb on a...
Do it on a YouTube
clip. On an acquaintance. Upload a YouTube. Make it private.
Please.
Please. Send it to a bud.
Have some decorum.
Ugh. This is perhaps the grossest.
What is offending you about it specifically?
Just the fact that like, these people are complete platonic friends, right? This is right. What they made it sound like. Mm-hmm. He has skipped. Even if they were not destined to date, even if they were gonna go like straight friends and binnies. Okay. He has skipped every fucking step between, hey, pal, how's it going? Do you want to join my kickball league? And let me pee in your hair.
At what time of day did this occur? Because if it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, he might have been drunk.
There's
not that I think that makes that better or makes it okay, but I'm just saying like... Maybe that was his game. It's like, oh, yeah, I was just drunk, but he was testing the waters, and with the excuse of saying he was drunk later, which is a dick move. Oh, God. See, the problem with this is you can't go back.
You can't, because either your friend wants to pee in your hair or he's a total fucking weird beard. I mean, maybe it can be both, but, like, either he just thinks that a cool thing to do with the friends that he's not especially close to is to text... About his armpit play.
Sexual weirdness.
Yeah.
And the weirdness is not the things that... I mean, to be clear... I feel like you guys aren't being clear enough about this.
I'm not saying it's weird to be into pee or armpits. Like, nothing is weird. Everything is accepted.
No. I'm saying that the weird thing is the non sequitur shift.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, hey, do you want to go see Great Gatsby this weekend? Oh, also, I really like it when people dress me up like Little Bo Peep.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I do want to see Great Gatsby, but now not with you.
Why would you want to see fucking Great Gatsby anyway?
I want to see it more when I saw a Photoshop of Great Gatsby, but that's just...
I would see that movie.
I know. But yeah, that's the thing, is it's not about what the dude's into, because fuck it. But like, hey man, don't put people on the spot. Don't put people on blast. I think that you are within your rights to either... confront this dude and be like, hey man, that's not cool, you know, like, A, for a lot of reasons, but like, where'd that come from?
Unless we're always telling people to live like they were dying.
Mm-hmm.
What if we accidentally gave this guy the advice to do this thing? Like, I've got this girl that I really, really like. So far all of our communique has been totally platonic. How do I set things off and get weird with her in her armpits, as I am wont to do?
Okay, so let's look at this from a future advice kind of thing. If anybody listening here wants to tell some random person about all of their stuff, please start it off with, hey, I'd like to tell you something kind of personal, or I have something, not like just random chatting about like, hey, what are you going to do for dinner?
That, oh, doesn't that cat? Sort of erode the sexual topsoil of their the geography of their friendship, though? Like, doesn't that kind of... if you want to explain your kinkiness to somebody, doesn't it kind of negate that to be like, hey, heads up, things are about to get pretty crazy in here.
Brace your face.
This SMS message is about to get naughty.
Is the problem with this that the friend is assuming his sexual preference? Because I feel like if this was a platonic male and female, that there wouldn't be the same... it wouldn't have some of the same attachments, right?
Ooh. I don't understand, because it's a male friend who says what he likes to do to women in bed.
Yeah, she is a girl.
I'm almost certain.
She is a woman. I know for a fact, because I put the question.
Okay.
Okay, well, all right. Okay.
So, we are missing the bigger question.
The bigger question
is, she is asking, with him bringing this up, is he just, like, randomly telling me as a friend all the weird stuff he's into, or does he want to go to the bone zone?
Oh, no, dear. Oh, no. Madam, no. Make no mistake, this is an easy one. Thank you, Travis. You put this into stark relief. He's definitely trying to have sex with you.
Let
me check my abacus real quick. Click, 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 click. Yes.
Let us also be clear. If this question were about, I have a friend who likes saltwater taffy, but I like sweetwater taffy, our response would be, he wants to have sex with you.
Yes, that's correct. You are right. He has gone about, okay, see, now your guys' response, if she's a woman, that makes so much more sense why you guys are, I mean, that's very presumptuous of him. It would be presumptuous either way. But that is very presumptuous of him to start sending.
Right?
That's. Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, so I would say he definitely wants to have sex with you. And it seems like even if your preference is 100% synced up with his assumption that you would, based on no prior discussion, tells me that he's not a dude you want to continue to associate with.
But what if she's into that? Like, it sounds like...
wouldn't be asking us the question.
But we're just assuming that this guy is a total mustachioed weirdo. But what if he's just like a fucking, like, Gordon Gekko, like, let me cut to the chase. Pee. Boom. Bada boop. Bada beep. Bada boop. I like pee. I like pee. Are you in? You out. Zip zap. Bada boop.
Gross. Gross is good.
Gross. I'm going to cut to the chase. No fluff, no bullshit. My pee, your hair. Tonight, bada boop.
It is fair to point out that, like, texting is pretty cumbersome. So he didn't want to spend a lot of characters on romance.
Yes, right.
I don't think that's so.
He just sent, it was two characters. It was a capital P and a question mark. And then in a follow-up text, bada boop. And then a smiley, a winky face emoticon. Like, yeah, we didn't need the emoticon. I think we all got the intended purpose of the original message. And my answer is yes. Tonight.
Absolutely.
Tonight at the Motel 12. Don't tell us all.
It's two motels.
It's two Motel 6s back to back. I want you to pee on me between them.
I mean, I...
Bada boop.
I would like to know her response, right? Like, he must have been getting a much different vibe than she was from their texts. Like, it is a very sort of like,
what if he said, like, do you want to go see Great Gatsby? And she said, oh, I'd rather have someone pee on my hair.
The moment he's so been waiting for. You should mention that. This has been my brother and me. We sure appreciate everybody listening to the show. Thank you to everyone tweeting at us. Alonzo Duralde, Cat, Jonathan Mitchell, Tyler Watt, Ian Johnson,
Jacob Locker, of course, our man, Drew Davenport, DM, Garrett Smith, Pepperoni Sinclair, Nicole Tompkins, and put together an East Coast MBMBAM meetup to send off our friend, the Trisket, off to
Afghanistan,
shipping out to Afghanistan. So we wish him all the best, and we hope that they had a great time out there, and of course we'll keep him
in Afghanistan?
Our hearts and minds. Yeah,
he's gonna have a great time out in Afghanistan, just like chilling.
I hope he just has a wonderful time.
No, I think it'll be a real character builder. So I think
he's got plenty of character. He's like fucking USA. He's fucking characters welcome. Was that USA?
Thank you. I guess thank you for defending our. They actually had a beautiful banner at the meetup that just said "Getting It."
Nice.
So unless that wasn't at the meetup and just at somebody's house, which either way, I'm just looking at Twitter, and there's a lot of things on there. We so appreciate you guys listening to the show and tweeting about it. If you want to share our sampler, bit.ly/ MBMBAM 2013. It's a great way to get people into the show if they're not already listening.
I want to thank everybody who sent in Yahoo Answers. Seriously, like, 10 times as many as I got last week. Like, everybody fucking answered back my plea. Thank you guys so much. I also want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. Fuck your Daft Punk album, is what I'm saying. Daft Punk? No, nice. Thanks. Vampire Weekend? Who needs it? What I need is just this same album over and over again.
Two quick Max FunCon reminders. One, we're going to be at Max FunCon, so if you're going to be there too, start formulating questions in your head that you would like to have answered at the live show, and then come find us at some point during the weekend so that maybe we can have you have your question answered live. And two, for all of you who will not be at Max FunCon, just remember that because we're doing a live show, it always takes us a little bit longer to publish, so it'll probably be a little bit late.
We should also probably talk about the fact that we may have to miss an episode, not next week, but the week after, when Justin and I are at E3.
Yeah.
So just get prepped for the fact that, like, June 10th may be kind of a dry one, by which I mean not non-existent.
Yeah.
There won't be many jokes that week.
Not a lot of jokes. Keep us in your heart still. Hope you won't forget about us. A third reminder for those of you who are attending Max FunCon, please don't speak to me.
No, talk especially to Justin.
Talk to Justin, but don't make eye contact.
He's sort of like the face.
No, don't make any jokes, because then people will do it and I'll forget about the joke and I'll think everyone's gone insane.
He's like the face of the A-team. Our A-team.
Here's what's important. When you see Justin, form a protective barrier around him, but facing outward.
Don't make Justin look at your eyes with his eyes.
Don't make me uncomfortable. Just be like, no. Do say hi, though. I'll be upset if you don't come say hi.
And then be prepared to courier messages between Justin and John Hodgman and back, because they do not
speak so much each beef other. Still. They've got there's this crazy East Coast beef with those two. Mm-hmm. And I just don't even understand. This final Yahoo answer was sent in by Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yahoo Answers user Dan G, who asks. I'm going to read this in an appropriately disappointed voice. Why does my son make laser gun noises in the bathroom?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother and me. Kiss your dad.
Square on the lips.
Thanks.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.